All right, we're live right now. I've interrupted the programming that started an hour and a half ago. No more calls. Everybody take their seat. If you can't see me, get where you can. Position them over there, they don't have to strain their neck unless it'll look around the camera. She's having to strain her neck to look around the camera. Move her out there, it's better. In the same way here, move over till I can see you without you having to strain. I want everybody comfortable. I got something to say, and I want you not leaning to see me. So you can get this center girl to move over. Right here in the middle. Make her move this way. Just change chairs. I want to eyeball all of you. All right, as I always do, I tell you, and I'm sure then it will circulate word of mouth, because people have a way of talking and not coming to hear it from the horse's mouth first. I spent the last, I don't even know what day it is, Tuesday? Ever since my announcement to you, I've been in a round robin of hospitals, doctor's offices, blood tests. I feel like my right arm is a pincushion. Twice today. Drinking chalk. Injected with iodine, rolled through scanners, swallowing tubes, now to the bottom line. I have another cancer. Cancer is graded, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4. That's the worst. I'm grade 4. This time, multiple organs. Bladder, lymph gland, bone. The prognosis worse than 4 years ago, which everyone agrees was a miracle. Go ahead and call any urologist or oncologist that you know, because there are the naysayers that always say no. Ask any any urologist with a double 10 Gleason, you're dead within a year. God performed a miracle. But I have taught you, in fact, we have a street term for the staff. They never listen to me. Every time the devil gets to you in this fight of faith warfare, and I need you to lock that camera and not make a move. And I need to say this just once to the director and everybody else back there in the DTR room. This will play again and again. I'm really sorry I have to say this. Don't do any over-directing. Just keep your mouth shut and stand at your post and don't do a thing until I tell you to, unless we totally lose power or something and tell me we have. I don't need distractions. It's a miracle I'm here tonight. But I've taught you faith. And I will faith my way through this test. But I have told my staff people, using a street term, the devil will always return. We call it a devil fornicating up. You can translate that. A devil bleep up. And I've almost begged him at times, will you just tell the devil when you get taken down by him? He may get you on something else before the day's over. He won't get you on that. Because I can guarantee you he will return and press that button again and again until you whip him finally on that. In 29 years, I've yet to have a staff member that makes that commitment. And I don't really remember a mistake that hadn't been repeated, not just once, but several times. The Bible says that in a different context, get a devil out, you drop your guard, he'll go get seven more and come right back. He always revisits with more forces. I've told you, all of you, that cancer remains in all of your bodies. The issue is who wins. The cancer cells or the immune system? And I've heard some interesting discussion from some of the best experts in the field. I was rather amused. I didn't say anything because I was just taking it all in. But I was rather amused to have one of these leading medical experts refer to cancer cells as they personalize. They are smell. They are smart. Personalize them. Because they figure out what you do to back them up, cause a retrogression, defeat them, and they mutate. They mutate to a cell that no longer is affected by that which was used to combat it or combat them. They feed on something, and so you deprive them of that, and then mutate to a cell that can exist without what they previously fed on. I said to my wife when we went out, I've been saying this for years. These were among the hosts of evil in the air about us. I put viruses there. Why some of the greatest healing evangelists were always casting demons out of people. I now have another cancer eating away in my body. I have a blockage in the left kidney that must be treated immediately with a stent, or I will lose the left kidney. That's the immediate emergency, which means I don't even have. Thanks be to God for leading me in time. I don't even have the certainty of a week. As I said, I've been looked inside and out, treated, pounded on, jabbed, and violated in every orifice. It's possible I will know in the morning. I'll be at a hospital at 10:30 in the morning. We'll know in the morning if I have to have surgery tomorrow afternoon. I'll go to the hospital with my bags packed. Not much more to say. The statistics say less than 6 months without immediate treatment. With immediate treatment, with cutting edge, my wife and I have been educated quickly in what I've always told you. There are those out there that only listen to part of what I teach. 4 years ago and 26 years before, constantly, I said, trust in God, but keep your powder dry. I have said from the beginning, don't ever mistake faith for foolishness. I do not deter a whit from the covenant relationship and my right as a covenantal partner inferior, but a trusted, faithful, covenantal partner with my Heavenly Father and Sovereign. Talk back to Him to be honest and to claim His word. I do not deter a whit what I've taught you every day I've been here. Go out faithing. If you have to get your healing on the other side, at least you've guaranteed, well done, good and faithful. I'm not too sure that the good, except the covenant of His grace and the gift of it. But I can do everything I can do to ensure that the good and faithful servant is the way I go out. Now, the statistics say less than 6 months without immediate treatment. There are cutting-edge treatments that did not exist 2 years ago. I mean, I'm an academician and a scholar. I told you don't ever mix fear with faith and claim you have faith when you're afraid to go to a doctor. I teach you to push the matchbox of our own striking out of reach and give God first chance. I've done that, but if you'll recall, 4 years ago I submitted to the scan that was supposed to pinpoint radiation and surgery. I took blood tests every week and brought you the results. I went back for biopsy and had it refused because my PSA was at 2.5. I kept my powder dry. This time I have no monitoring system. It's, by all statistics, dead in 3 to 6 months, and a very painful death. Or with treatment, the statistics are 3 years. You give me 3 years, I will find things God said that He forgot He said. You better understand about Gene Scott and his faith. If you're going to take me out, do it with a first blow. I mean, I'm like Federer, who just won the U.S. Open tennis champion. If you don't take him out in the first set, it's 6-0 in the third set. You give me 3 years. Me and God will work this out. And you will be fading with me, and you will see what I've been teaching you. How you're supposed to handle a crisis like this. Don't waver in your faith. Keep knocking at not an unjust judge, but the door of a heavenly Father. I don't have the monitoring like the blood tests. This cancer is not capable of exhibiting itself in that one way. I'm keeping my powder dry. I'm ready to go. You're not ready for me to go. There's a congregation. My wife. It's almost amusing to see her tell me she and God are going to have a fight over me. I'm going to do the intelligent thing and take advantage of step by step the modern treatments that are available. Keep my powder dry and trust in God, but I'll tell you this. You give me 3 years, you better figure 10 or 15. And they said a year, 4 years ago. This is four. So four times three is 12. So I'm 12 starting out the gate the way I fight. I will be here as I am tonight teaching. I'll be at the cathedral in some way Sunday. I had a stent put in my heart. I preached from the hospital. Remember that? If they can put it off, they will until Monday or Tuesday of next week. But all indication is I could wake up tomorrow morning having lost the capacity to urinate and lose a kidney. It appears with a certain medication, I'll make it through the night. And it appears the surgery will most likely occur tomorrow. That's the first emergency. Then there's, I repeat, cutting-edge technology and a way to attack these demon cancer cells and at least hold them at bay while my wife and other homeopathic aides add the rebuilding of the immune system, and me and God, my wife and you, will fight this out. We've been there before, and we'll fight it out this time by faith and methinks, as Mark Twain, the rumors of my demise are going to be greatly exaggerated, and I'll be around to laugh, not only on the other side ultimately, but to laugh for many years to come. But you need to understand, it isn't healing that I need now, only a miracle. it's been cruel to sit and see a doctor say to my wife, Mrs. Scott, you understand we cannot cure him. It's past that point. Well, you remember I adopted a new name for God last week. Jehovah Pila. Jehovah. Well, what's your name? Impossibility. Impossibility is anything. Pila, impossible for God. The unanswered question of the Old Testament, he demonstrated miracles. In the New Testament, the answer comes. With man, it's not possible. But with God, all things. With man, adunata. With God, all things, dunata, are possible. He is impossibility. My dad used to sing the song. He specializes in things thought impossible. But that's the difference between healing and a miracle. The miracle phase starts right here. We had a little miracle, now we're going to have a big miracle. But some of you quit fasting and quit praying, you know that. I've faced my casualness with the miracle. Start over, folks. That's what God raised us up for. To demonstrate we can make this faith run with faith speak. I said to someone today, the thing I took home from the Olympics more than anything else, as I watched various things, but that which stands out more than anything else in the history of the Olympics is the marathon. And you watch those runners, and because of modern TV, you can see them at various stages of the run. But what a change when they make that turn and come into that giant stadium, and the crowd begins to applaud. If it's the Greek section, they applaud for their runner. If it's the Argentine section, etc. But you see those runners with the tired look on their face. Many of them, they know they can't win. The first, second, and third's already made the lap inside the Colosseum or the auditorium or the arena. But those that are punishing, feeling the punishment, some with cramped legs, they seem to get a little invigorated as they round that last turn. It's after dark. And they come into the lights of that stadium. And I was reminded of Hebrews 11. Seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud, the only difference from the marathon is the cloud of witnesses, which translates martyrs, had already run the race. You didn't have an arena packed with people in the stands that had already run the race. They're just watchers. But Hebrews 11 has the crowd that's watching, seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of martyrs that have run the race before us. Let us run the race with endurance, laying aside every weight, the sin that does so easily beset. Looking unto Jesus, the first goer and finisher, he's sitting there at the right hand of the Father in the key spot in the arena. And I could squint my eyes and think, you know, what a tragedy, even though they couldn't win first, second, or third. Having made the race, if they couldn't find it in themselves to enter that arena and make that final circle before they sat down. What a picture of this faith walk I taught you. I can assure you, I'm going to enter that arena running. But I got a few more miles to go. And join with me in prayer. Be praying. This festival will play again. And people will slowly get informed. I've always been honest with you. I'm not afraid of death. But I don't intend to let God's eardrums find any relaxation over the next few weeks, months, and years as I remind him daily of his promises while faithfully submitting to the course he intends for me to run. I'll finish my course keeping the faith. I want you to do it with me. Now get on the phone. Now I'm going to let you keep calling now. The half hour that preceded where I explained my condition will replay 30 minutes from now to those that are watching live. It may not always replay 30 minutes from now if this is a rerun, but this is Tuesday night, 3.5 minutes after 9. We will replay that half hour again in about 27 minutes. Right now I want you to call, expressing your faith. I will be in the cathedral one manner or another to conduct the service Sunday morning. Hopefully I'll be physically present. If I go into surgery tomorrow afternoon, if anybody can be there Sunday in my condition, I will be. But I will either be there, I'll be there in some manner. So you be there. So we need about another 100 reservations for the cathedral, so make them right now, don't. Now, I really think you should talk this half hour. I have honestly described what we're facing. I know what I'm going to do. Keep faithing. And I repeat, if you're going to take me out, you better do it with the first blow. You let me hang around for just a little while, I'll find something to grab hold on you. Catch me by surprise, you may be able to deliver a killing punch. Make sure it does the job. I'm still around. Don't start preparing the bulletins for the funeral. I'm still around. I'm still needed. I mean, while the last two songs were going, I had to deal with something behind the scenes. My wife's having to deal with it. You ain't ready for me to go yet. And God's not going to leave the sheep without a shepherd. But he needs to wake the sheep up because apparently I haven't been able to. You always come through in a crisis that you're a bunch of spoiled brats. It's over now. Back to normal. There is no normal in this faith walk. Now, there are lots of things that some of you are going to learn as we go through this, including what I teach on Sunday. So you better make your reservation and be there. Get on the telephone. Just before the music ended, I made a statement talking to staff people and my cameraman. And I asked a question, and then the music ended, and they couldn't answer quick enough. What's complicated about what I said? Can't hear you.
Nothing. Not here, sir.
Now, this is the time that the years of teaching has got to produce some results. I'm not interested in the fringe curiosity, look us over, casual attendees at the cathedral. I'm interested in the people that have fought this faith with me, including those that have come in the recent hours and years. I'm interested in faith warriors in this congregation, starting with the 300 volunteers. God was leading me before this came out. Steps of a good man are ordered the Lord. God knows what he's doing. God enters into all things to work his good. I've said from the platform many times, I'd like to think I've graduated and I've come through this, and all I've got to do from now till I get to glory is tell you how to make it and quit making it myself. That's not my style. Never has been. And my test will be greater than the babes in Christ. But this is when the backbone of this church comes through. You step up to the plate. You put your armor on. You resist the devil, he'll flee from us. Two of you shall agree. That's not a casual. Let's agree together. Most people interpret that verse, if two of you shall agree on earth. It's in the same category. God up there puts in the same category I do. Somebody in Beverly Hills saying, let's have lunch sometime. Or Hollywood. Well, the same category as some service station on the edge of the Nevada desert you drive through because you got lost on this road and fill up with gas. Glad to see you. Come again. If two of you shall agree. Very seldom God finds two in that amen kind of agreement. Two of you in that state ask anything, it'll be done. There are hundreds locally and thousands around the globe that can pray the prayer of faith. I teach the atonement healing and that avenue that each of us as an individual have. And we can all approach the throne with boldness on his multiple promises to us. I said last week, God doesn't want, I'll use a different word, but God doesn't want a bunch of pansies. He wants real faith warriors. Be that. Get on the telephone. Then when I came to Faith Center almost 30 years ago, I used to have a big wooden sign. It was a slab of wood hanging back by the doorway that went into the parking lot. All it said was, "But God." Thus and so, no way out, facing the impossible, no answer that we can provide but God. Don't leave him out. With man it's impossible, but with God, I repeat, as my dad used to sing, God specializes in things thought impossible. Get on the telephone. Stay on the telephone. Fill this room with faith.